Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Bridge the Atlantic, where we get to know the people behind the creative industries. We're your hosts, music web designer Ross Barber-Smith, owner of Electric Kiwi, where we create awesome custom websites for bands, artists, and musicians.
And I'm singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist Marcin Novelli, a proud dad, lucky husband, and a crazy vegan.
This week we're joined by LA-based artist, author, illustrator, and designer Ruby Roth. Ruby is the world's leading author and illustrator of vegan and vegetarian books for children, and has been featured on CNN, Fox, and many other major media outlets.
Complementing her degrees in art and American studies, Ruby has researched animal agriculture, health, nutrition, and the benefits of a plant-based diet for well over a decade. So we're looking forward to hearing how Ruby has combined multiple passions into a career and the advice she'd offer for others who would like to do the same. Hey, Ruby, how's it going?
Good. How are you guys? Glad to hang out with you.
Ruby, tell us three things about yourself that everyone should know.
Well, I am an artist before anything else. I think I'm known in the vegan community for having written these kids' books and a cookbook. But all of those projects come from an art foundation, and they were all art projects to me. So the art is primary in my life. Also, I have a social justice background, starting in high school and college, was very involved in social justice issues, a lot of anti-racist work and student groups. And I think that formed the basis of my interest that led me to veganism as well. And what else? I'm an undercover punk. There's no tattoos on the outside, but I'm tattooed all on the inside.
I can fully relate to you on that one. It's exteriorly no, interiorly yes.
I think also people, you know, they think children's book author, illustrator is like total innocence. And if you saw my music collection, I think people would think it was funny. But I think, you know, those punk rock roots also led me to do what I do today. The kind of countercultural, do-it-yourself, anti-authoritarian teachings of all the punk rock groups. I learned that early.
So basically what you're saying is you're a badass.
I mean.
Not my words, you know, just saying you're a badass.
All right, those were your words.
Yeah, they actually were
I'll
my words.
I'll take it.
So yeah, this all leads pretty nicely into the first question. I think you kind of touched on bits and pieces of what I'm hoping to get from you here, but you evidently have interests and skills in various fields, you know, writing, illustration, nutrition. How did you combine them all and make a career out of them? I mean, was it intentional or something that kind of just evolved naturally?
Well, it all came from art, which was what I was planning on doing my whole life. I think that I would be a gallery artist. I wanted to be an illustrator or do some kind of art that had meaning behind it, because that was what was most important to me over just pure self-expression. So it came about because after I graduated from college, I was teaching art at an after-school program, and all the kids were always curious about why I wasn't drinking the milk and eating the string cheese that the government was serving them at recess. And I went to go look for a book that we could read about together and do an art project on. And what I found were very few books to begin with, and also they were about a talking animal or a talking vegetable, which I felt like, A, took away from the rich emotional lives of animals, and also from the kids' intelligence and their capabilities. These kids were all hard kids from, you know, the inner city, and they'd been through a lot, and I didn't sugarcoat anything when I talked to them, so I wasn't going to read them a book about a talking tomato. that just wasn't our vibe. So it was a moment where I pulled all of my interests together, the politics, the social justice, the art background, and decided to create the books that I wanted to see and read to these kids.
Well, before we talk about your new book, I want to say that this book right here is an absolute favorite of my eldest son, Skylar. We've been reading this to him since he was about two. He's almost four, and we've been reading this to him since he was two. And he quotes things from here when family members ask, "Why are you vegan?" Because, you know, he has cousins about his age. And he quotes lines from this book. So you've really helped, you know, along with us, obviously, helping to educate him while learning his ABCs.
It's
called V is for Vegan. Yeah, the ABCs of being kind. I do want to hear about your new book for kids, though. It's called the Help Yourself Cookbook for Kids, which I'm excited to dive into with my little ones. And I'd like to know kind of what led you to writing it and of course, all your other books.
Well, after the first books, which kind of hit on the emotional lives of animals and veganism as a lifestyle, how we put our love into action and send our love across the world through the choices that we make, I had a lot of requests from vegan families for a book that they could share with friends or school or other family members without putting any pressure on the recipient or starting a war. So the first books were really written for families raising vegan kids. But the cookbook, the Help Yourself Cookbook for Kids, is really designed for everybody. It just is a super fun kids cookbook. It just happens to be plant-based. And what, you know, parent doesn't want their kids to eat more fruits and vegetables and whole foods. So, you know, it's a 60 plus recipes. Most of them are 5 ingredients or less. Kids can actually make it, unlike other books that I saw, which were really, like, they would have kids on the cover, but the language and the directions were really, like, obvious that the parents needed to be involved. So this is written directly to kids in a language that they understand, and it's super simple, and it really gets even the pickiest of eaters involved and engaged in the kitchen and interested in whole foods and the motivation behind eating healthy.
I love that.
It's also for busy or lazy adults.
that's me.
Wait, I think or just adults with very little time.
Yeah. I said busy.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's really how I cook at home.
You know what? I think you need to send this book to Roz. Roz doesn't have any kids, but I think this book will help him. Am I right, Roz? Very busy guy. Quickly making meals.
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
Maybe we can convert them to the light side. I was going to say dark side.
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, I'm not against it because that would be stupid.
You guys do meatless dinners. That's a step.
Yeah, we do. We do some. Yeah.
It's the way of the future. Everyone's kind of moving that direction, I think.
As a related note, I really do think for the survival of the human species, it's inevitable. I mean, if people want to eat, it's going to have to be, everyone's going to have to go plant-based simply because of the amount of land that it takes to raise livestock. I mean, you know, there's many different documentaries that focus on different things. Cowspiracy is a great one because it actually talks about, it's less about the things that bother, you know, people have a hard time swallowing, the pun, swallowing, you know, the ethical reasons behind being vegan. And people also have a hard time swallowing like the health reasons, because maybe some people just don't care. But when it comes to someone actually thinking that they care about the environment, you know, but they consume, you know, meat and animal products, it's a little bit, it's actually more than a little bit of a hypocrisy, right? But anyway.
Well, I just on that point, I think that it is the way of the future, and I think I don't know that I would be vegan at all other times in history, but I think in the context of the world that we live in today, it is absolutely the right thing to do and the right trajectory that we all need to get on. You know, whether you're just starting or you've been in it for 30 years, I know the range of people, and you know, it's just correct for our time and our era.
I just this is going off a little bit of our interview, but it always just drives me nuts when someone says, oh, I love my meat too much. I couldn't give it up. Well, what if meat were illegal? What if there was something that you loved so much that was illegal? Like, oh, I just love my cocaine. I just can't give it up. Well, it doesn't mean that you should be consuming it. There's many reasons behind it, ethically, nutritionally, you know, health-wise, and environmentally. Not that's just the three main ones. You know, there's so many other reasons.
Absolutely.
Anyways, I digress, and we shall move on with more focused questions.
Back to the creative.
There we go.
Exactly. Are you looking at the questions that we have here? Because literally the next question is about being creative.
Yeah, do you have so, access to our script or something here? Not that we have a script.
What's a script?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Never heard of that. So yeah, kind of moving back to the creative side of things, I'd be interested to find out if there's been one big challenge that you've had to overcome in terms of making a living through your creativity.
I mean, it is difficult. And someone reminded me, a friend who's a screenplay writer, he keeps a little sign above his desk that says, no one asked you to do this. and that is true. If you're going to choose this, you have to do it wholeheartedly. And there's a lot of trust involved. And it's always a struggle. I know even successful artists who have made a living off just their artwork for their whole lifetime. You never know what's coming or what's not coming. So there is a lot of patience involved and a lot of trust. And there's just something in us that is the driving force. And it comes down to continuing to do the work. And my website, besides the kids' book stuff, is Draw or Die. And I really, truly feel that, you know, that like, if I don't know what else I would do, I would probably wither and die if I wasn't doing my art. So the obstacle is always just to do the work despite what's happening with money and to keep figuring it out as you go.
I like that. I really, really do. I want to ask you something that's less on the creative side and more on what you're known for, but why are you vegan?
I think it goes back to what I just said. You know, with the context of the world that we live in today and the water and the food and the global warming and climate change and the mass destruction, like the list goes on and on and on. I think it's the right thing to do. I don't, you know, even know that I couldn't myself kill an animal, you know, at another time. I could probably do it. I could probably, you know, accomplish the feat, but, it's not what I'm interested in now. And I think, you know, as an artist, you are always looking at thinking critically and thinking outside the box. And we're, as artists, kind of exposed to the underbelly and, you know, outside culture. And that goes hand in hand with, for me, being creative and outside the box and living, you know, finding a way to live genuinely and authentically to your beliefs. Veganism sits well with me. It sits well with my health. And I think it's just absolutely the right thing for everybody to be getting on board with. And it's, I think most everybody is vegan at heart already, you know, but the information is starting to trickle in on all the motivations behind the movement. And I think everyone can find a reason that they agree with.
That was well said.
Thank you.
Are you ready for 20 questions?
Sure.
Coffee or tea?
Tea. Can't handle coffee. I'm a child.
This one is completely redundant, but meat or veggies?
1,000 times veggies.
TV or Netflix?
Netflix.
Twitter or Facebook?
Oh, Facebook.
Talent or attitude?
Talent.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone. I don't even know what an Android is.
Here's a, this is going to be a tough one for you. It's a tough one for me. Actually, it's not a tough one for me. Guacamole or hummus?
Guac.
Yes, yeah, same. Same. I get so excited.
Raw food. I'll pick raw food.
Writing or illustration?
Illustration.
Yoga on the beach of Santa Monica or yogurt?
I'll do yoga.
Ghosts or aliens?
Aliens.
Oh, do you watch Ancient Aliens?
No.
Oh, come on. It's such a fun show, though. Vega or Sun Warrior?
That's hard. I really support both of them. Can I do that? I'm going to go outside the box with these rules.
Sure.
Whatever
your punk rock heart desires.
Thank you.
Education or experience?
Experience.
Now, Ross is still stuck in the 90s, so this mm-hmm. really should be him asking you this question, but Friends or Seinfeld?
Seinfeld.
Batman or Superman?
Batman.
You and I agree on a lot here.
I take the animal. Take the animal route.
Oh, I see what's going on here. Okay, this is a pretty important one. Not the most important question you'll be asked today, but this is an important one. Michael Jackson or Michael Bolton?
Michael Jackson. Right. Who answers Michael Bolton on that one, guys?
Ross does. Ross was raised listening to Michael Bolton, so...
It's the hair. It's the hair.
You love it.
Breaking Bad or Homeland?
Breaking Bad.
Celine Dion or Marilyn Manson?
Marilyn Manson.
Whale or kale?
Did you say whale or kale?
Whale or kale? The context is unclear. We've never quite decided on any reason other than they rhyme.
I'm going to take both of them because I feel like whale and kale are on the same side.
They are. Except a whale would eat us.
That's fine.
It's okay.
I'm okay with that.
Now, with more rhyming questions that are completely unrelated, Bette Midler or the Riddler?
The Riddler.
Oh, and here's the final question for you that Ross can be so kind to deliver this one.
Yep, I'm going to deliver this one. So we're gonna make you pick between Ross or Marcio.
This is a horrible choice.
Well, I'm going to preface this. I'm going to say, it's not that I'm giving you permission. You don't need permission. Don't do this, Ross.
Don't even do this, okay?
I would feel upset for Marcio if you didn't pick Marcio because he's a vegan.
That's it.
And he's such an advocate for your books.
He's wearing a vegan shirt and he has memorized Bees for Vegan. So I have to go with the guy in the vegan shirt.
PETA just sent this to me actually, which was very nice. I guess I am wearing that. I am being that annoying vegan today. Buy her books. Look at this shirt. Oh God, who am I? How do you know if someone's vegan, Ruby?
They'll tell you.
Oh, we'll tell you.
Yeah. A thousand times.
So I want to know, so for anyone who wants to make a living by combining multiple passions or talents, just like you do, what would be the advice you'd offer them based on what you've learned yourself? Maybe like the top thing you've learned.
It goes back to just doing the work and locking yourself up and committing to it. It's something I have to recommit to every single project that I do. There's been like the high of releasing a new project and a new book, and then the low of like, oh my God, I don't know what comes next. I have a built-in audience, but what are they going to like? And there's all kinds of doubt. And, I think every artist and creative type can relate to that in between feeling. And I have to lock myself up and get my pen out. And you really have to confront all the resistance and all the ambivalence and all the doubt and blank piece of paper in front of you and just go back into production mode and see what comes out. And for me, a lot of it, starting a new project, the first stuff that comes out is gunk and it's horrible and it's not good and it's not good drawings. I'm cold and I haven't, been in it for a while because I've been, publicizing and doing outreach on something else. And it's about getting through that stickiness and seeing what comes out on the other side. And after that, that's when you can do outreach and networking and find a place for whatever that new project is, the appropriate outlets, even if it's something completely different from the last thing you did. And requires, you know, a new network of people to support you, then that's the trajectory and that's the path. But it comes down to continuing to do the work and not allow yourself to be stuck in a rut.
As an artist who has really developed a following in the vegan community, you know, do you find it difficult to want to step out of that arena to express yourself in different ways? I mean, I know if I were a musician that strictly wrote about veganism, you know, that's where your success has kind of come from primarily. You know, I'd find I want to step outside of that a little bit. But, you know, are you weary about that? Are you worried about it? You know, how do you approach that?
For sure. Well, because the last, you know, 8-9 years have been focused on books and books that are in the vegan niche, that's where most of my following comes from. Not everyone necessarily cares that I'm an artist or cares about any of the other art that I do. So that's definitely a challenge in whatever I do next, because, like I said, everything that I'm going to put out there is going to be based in art. And even though most of my focus has been children's stuff, there's a whole other side of my artwork that's more in the adult space. And so that's going to be, you know, that's my new challenge, is getting back to the drawing board, very literally and figuratively, and trusting that whatever I do next is going to be authentic to me and my journey. And we'll see what audience comes with me. My following, which, you know, a portion of my following comes with me, and how I use the same discipline and trust that I had with the books, and move that into my personal artwork as I put that out into the world, whatever those new projects are.
That's wonderful. Another thing I want to quickly ask you about, because this is a show about, you know, creatives and kind of to help people who are aspiring to get to, you know, a point where you've gotten to, and some of our other guests have gotten to. So, you know, getting a book published, you know, could you run us through the quick bullet points of how you go from a blank piece of paper, you know, to having your book, you know, available for someone like me to just see it in a store, pick it up, you know, and, you know, if you can run us through that quickly, the bullet points, and as well as let us know, did you find it easier or more difficult to get published in the vegan niche? Because sometimes niches, you know, provide you with a benefit because there's less competition in a niche versus, you know, the broad spectrum.
The book publishing process is a very long one. In the beginning, in 2008, when I started pitching my book, which I put together completely, I created a little dummy book. It was a black and white version of the entirety of the manuscript and the illustrations. That's what I sent around to the publishers. There was a tremendous amount of rejection. Veganism was not in the lexicon of the mainstream in 2008 like it is now. And people were very scared about this book. They thought it was, you know, inappropriate for children, that there wasn't a market for this book. It was talking about veganism and vegetarianism for kids in a nonfiction way. So I pitched this to a million different companies, went through all the standard protocols of submissions. And there was one company, North Atlantic Books, my publisher, that was semi-interested. They had all the same worries that everybody else did, because when it comes down to it, a book is a money maker or it's not. That's what most publishers are interested in. And so this was a risk, and we kind of talked them into doing it. And really my belief that there would be a market. So that's how that started. And they took on my second and third books after they saw that there was a market. Even though it's a small niche, it's still, you know, an involved and committed niche. So those books, you know, one helped me get to the next.
We do forget just 8 years ago how much things have changed from, you know, in almost a decade. Things have changed so much because of people like you who have taken risks and put yourself out there and just wanting to spread you know, it's not like you just jumped on the vegan kind of train. Oh, this is getting popular. Everyone's talking about it. You know, you were part of making veganism kind of approach the mainstream consciousness, you know, so I applaud you for that. I definitely do. Now, speaking of everything you've done, not only as a vegan writer, but also just as an artist yourself, could you please let everyone know where they can find you, Ruby Roth, as well as the vegan side of things?
On Instagram, I am Ruby_Roth, R-O-T-H. I'm also at We Don't Eat Animals on Instagram. Facebook is facebook.com/WeDon'tEatAnimals. And my adult website stuff, illustration and design work is draworDie.com. Otherwise, all my kids' books and the new book and the cookbook and the aprons and some of the artwork from the books are all at WeDon'tEatAnimals.com.
Awesome. I do want to say that Ruby is being kind enough to give away one of her books to one of our lucky listeners, and all the details are in the show notes for that.
Cool. And you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, and YouTube. Just search for Bridge the Atlantic. You'll find us. Come and say hey. We like to, you know, find out what you think of the show. We want to hear who you want us to have on the show. If you've got any questions or feedback, just you know, let us know, because we're pretty friendly.
Well, Ross is. I'm a moody artist. As for me, I'm working on my second solo album, and you can be a part of it at marcinavelli.com/pledge. You can also get my current album right here. Boop, boop, boop. And make sure to follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Spotify, which are all my name, Marcio Novelli.
And I'm working on websites for various artists at the moment. You can check out my work and my blog at electrickiwi.co.uk. You'll find me on Twitter and Instagram as Electric Kiwi, and on Facebook, Electric Kiwi Design.
This episode was brought to you by Chris Keaton, 30 Roses, The Rockstar Advocate, Buck Naked Soap Company, which is a vegan company, and Social Surge. All links are in the show notes, so please check them out, and they really do keep the show alive.
And if you'd like to sponsor the show, you can do so for as little as $1 per episode. Please visit patreon.com/bridgetheatlantic.
Ruby, thank you so much for coming to the show, and thank you for everything you've done to help spread the love and the vegan awareness around the world.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bridge the Atlantic. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes.
You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so connect with us on there and let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for being awesome, and we'll see you next week.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.